All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another very special episode of Big Time Hoops, the podcast, and another big timer. And I can honestly say, probably very safely, I'm not the smartest one in the room tonight, because our guest tonight, as you can tell by the shirt, attends Harvard University, but from Biddeford, Maine, and a standout from the class of 2019. We got Gracie Martin joining us tonight. Gracie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So we were just kind of talking about it before we came on and started recording. You're at home. You're not even at school right now. Just that's what 2020 has been. So not exactly how you would have probably thought your college career or just your college education would go, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's been pretty crazy, 2020, and just the past couple of years. So I'm definitely geared up and ready to go for fall 2021.
Yeah. And one thing that's, I think, is crazy too, like, and I couldn't imagine being a college student, is how you show up there to go to school in the fall and they're like, yeah, you can go home and you can just remote learn if you want. And like, but you're just missing the entire college experience. Like, it's gotta be weird.
I know. It's basically them just taking your money for you just being in your dorm room, taking classes.
Yeah. And like right now, like you're basically like a online Harvard. You don't want that. Like, you want to be at Harvard, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And then how about from the basketball side? I mean, it's got to be crazy. I mean, you're pretty much going, what, almost 2 years without like a full competitive season. That's got to be crazy as a competitor, like just having that taken away as well.
Yeah, for sure. And when I tore my ACL, I don't know if you knew that, after the senior All-Star game. So it's been since then, since I've played in like an official game with like referees and everything. Like, we've played summer pickup ball, like, all the college kids this past summer, but like, it's been quite a while since I've played an official game.
Yeah. And we'll talk about the injuries and stuff like that, but I think you also had a procedure this fall too, right? You had something to kind of clean up the injury from last time.
Yeah, I was supposed to have it. And then my surgeon was like, let's hold off on that. And so he gave me a cortisone shot and it feels fine now. So I'm hoping that was just like a quick fix type thing.
So what do you got going on now? Like, how are you spending the winter? Are you just going to be home trying to get a Harvard education, just trying to stay focused, trying to work out, or what?
Yeah. So right now I'm just training 3 times a week at SMHC in Saco with Ricky Sorois. And then I train with, you had them on the podcast the other night, Abby from XL and Lauren Russo. And then besides that, I have an internship in finance right now. So just getting some experience before college. But yeah, things are going pretty well.
All right. As good as it can be, right?
Yeah.
2020 is as good as it can be. Yeah. So I want to go back and find out how we got here. I'm guessing it's been quite the journey from Southern Maine to playing D1 hoops and injuries and everything else in between, COVID, just so much stuff. So let's go back and kind of cover it. So obviously you went to Biddeford, graduated from Biddeford. Are you from Biddeford? And if you are, you'd be the first Biddeford grad that we have on the podcast. So that's big time.
I am from Biddeford, born and raised.
And what is the Biddeford hoops culture? I mean, we know about a lot of the other schools in the area. Southern Maine is just like the hub of basketball, especially on the girls' side. What's Biddeford hoops all about? What was your first introduction to Biddeford hoops?
Biddeford hoops is like, it grew on me a ton. The first year was hard because I wasn't used to losing. And my 4 years at Biddeford, I think I won 7 games, never had a playoff game. And never really had any teammates that were focused on like playing college basketball at the next level. So I would describe Biddeford basketball as like blue collar work ethic. Like, we may have not been the most talented team, but we went out there and we just kind of gave it our all. Like, under the circumstances, I think we did pretty well. But yeah, we just lacked talent. And I think Biddeford basketball has for a while now. I was just talking to Lauren actually, and I was like, I think your class was the last class to like have like a pretty good year. And I don't even know when she graduated.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research today. So I went back and just tried to look at like playoff games and stuff like that. And I was like, wait, there's not a single playoff game during this time.
Yeah, so it was
I'm glad you brought it up first, 'cause I didn't want to bring it up.
No, yeah. But like I had a great 3 years with my coach, Katie Herbine. She coached at Bangor before then. So they were pretty successful. And then she came to Biddeford and she kind of learned that we were just young, developing. But we just kind of developed a relationship. And I just loved having her as my coach. And she kept things positive. And so, yeah, it was, I mean, not the most successful basketball I've ever played, like as a team collectively, but I wouldn't have done it any other way. Like I was supposed to go to Biddeford for 1 year and then transferred out to like Macaulay when it was still open or
Yeah.
Chevrette. And I'm glad I didn't.
Okay. I want to talk more about Biddeford Hoops, but before we do, I want to talk about Biddeford in general. Okay. Now, I'm not from Southern Maine, but anytime Biddeford comes up, people kind of be like, they don't really say with the nicest tone or whatever. Talk to me about Biddeford. I can't say shit. I'm from Fort Kent. I get crap all the time for being where I'm from.
Fort
I'm
Kent,
proud. I'm proud of where I'm from.
my
But.
mom's from the county. She's from Fort Fairfield.
There we go. County's where it's at. So, but talk to me about Biddeford, because I feel like Biddeford gets a bad rap, but I don't know
I don't know really, but
why.
my dad went to Biddeford, and he said it's always been like that. I think it's just like past years, because I mean our school got renovated. We have a nice school and we have a nice like education system. So I don't really know why we get such a bad rep. Like it's just like if I like. The one thing that I describe it as is just blue collar. It kind of reminds me of the county because we go up to the county like for Christmas. Like my grandma lives in Presque Isle, and it's just like a bunch of hardworking people that kind of get slept on. I feel like,
It's true. Yeah, it's all right. It gives you a little chip on your shoulder. It's all right. But Biddeford, what do they do well? Is it football or hockey?
hockey.
Hockey program's where it's at, right?
Yeah. I think we went down to Class B recently, but my senior year, like sophomores or senior year, we were pretty good at hockey.
Okay.
But
So,
honestly, field hockey
yeah.
is what we're really good at. Yeah.
So when did you actually get into basketball? Because you mentioned that it had been a while, like your teams weren't the best. Nothing wrong with that, it happens. But and even before that, maybe a little bit of a talent drought. So like, what was your introduction to basketball? Like, when did you fall in love with it? Was it local stuff? Was it seeing like the girls around, the programs around? Like, what was it about basketball? When and where did you fall in love with the game?
Well, I'd always played basketball, but my family was primarily a softball family, like up until my sophomore year. So we did the whole travel softball thing. Like I loved it. But then we won states at Biddeford for softball. And then that year I had to make a decision like whether to play firecrackers, or continue on with softball. And I loved basketball so much. Like it's just like very my style. Like I love softball too, but it was kind of like slower pace. And but yeah, I broke my dad's heart, but I chose basketball. But I don't really. I just like felt have always had a passion for basketball. Like I love the sport.
What position did you play in softball?
I played shortstop.
And you're a little bit taller, right? I mean, you got some decent size. Aren't you a little big to be a shortstop?
Yeah. But I was like long, so I could just like eat every ground ball up because I'm just like lengthy.
Yeah.
So it worked out. My sister played third. She was a senior
Okay.
when we won state, so it was pretty cool.
So at least you had some team success in one sport, right? I mean, basketball
Yeah,
might not have been like
for
your
sure. And I played volleyball too, and we were pretty good.
Yeah, and I want to get into that too. I want to talk to you about that as well. But so you mentioned the firecrackers. So obviously, the high school, the Biddeford team might not have been the best, but you had some stacked firecracker teams, right? So when did you get involved with the firecracker program?
My sophomore summer, so after my sophomore year.
Did you play with anybody else before that, or was that pretty much like your first dive into AAU ball?
I was kind of like all over the place. I think my first AAU program was like AOB, which is like out of Sanford. Then I played some Biddeford like AAU team, then like a bunch of softball players played basketball, and then I played Blue Wave, and then I played Firecrackers.
So what was it about, the Firecrackers? Why ultimately there?
It was just like the top-notch talent in the state and exposure. That's really what it came down to. Like, I feel like they, at the time, were the program that if you wanted to play at the next level, you played for the Firecrackers. But
yeah. Obviously had some talented teammates, right? So, like, we know about the class of 2019, and we'll get into it a little bit later, like just the girls you graduated with. But who were some of the girls you played with?
My first year, I played on the younger team since I was just, like, joining. And so I played with Brooke Obar, Camille Clement, Katie Whitmore, Mackenzie Ouellette, Jules Colby. What am I missing? Paige Cody. Yeah, that was the first year. And then I played with Anna, Faith, Kenzie Ouellette, and then Brooke, Camille, and Maggie Whitmore were on that team, and Katie Whitmore.
It's crazy. I mean, it's pretty much everyone who's like been like All-State first team for like the last like two years. It's all located in one place. You mentioned exposure. So it was playing like at the, maybe not the D1 level, but I'm guessing college ball. That was something you always had in the back of your mind?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was always my goal to play D1 at a high academic school. So
you knew where you wanted to go. Like, even, I mean, I act like you're old now. That was a long time ago. That was like 3 or 4 years ago. But
yeah, it's funny you say that. In my eighth grade yearbook, I had, you know, when you do like the bios and like your goals, and I was like, I want to play Division I basketball in Ivy League school. And I was just looking back at it the other day, and I was like, wow, that like kind of worked out.
You've accomplished everything in life that you set out to achieve. Like, you're good. Like, you don't have anything else to – you've already achieved your eighth grade yearbook goal. Like, I don't know where you go from there. Yeah. So you mentioned the exposure. What was it like playing with talented girls? You know, and once again, I'm not shitting on your teammates a bit of it, but you mentioned how, you know, they didn't have the same interest or the dedication that maybe you had. What was it like being surrounded by a bunch of talent and just playing with a bunch of talented girls?
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it was just like eye opening because I had played Blue Wave and I had played with a bunch of talented players, but what Firecrackers brought to the table, like, we just had the name in different states. Like, we would go down to Raleigh and we would play in DC, we'd play in Chicago, we'd play in Louisville. And I think it was my first tournament, and there was like, there was 12 coaches on like the baseline, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've never played in front of a college coach. Like, this is crazy. And then when my second year at Firecrackers, when I was playing with like Kenzie, Faith, Anna, and Kenzie Ouellette, like we had some games, we had like 30, 40 like coaches like on our court, like just like dying to see us play.
Yeah.
So it was pretty eye opening and just like a really cool experience.
Any coaches that you recognized?
Well, definitely my Harvard coach, but Kenzie's coach at Indiana. I know Camille's aunt, the Duke coach, was always at our games, but she was just there to, like, support us. I don't know. I didn't really look at the coaches, like, when we played because we were just focused on the game.
Okay. So you mentioned exposure. Did playing at that level, playing with those girls, one of these tournaments, exposing yourself to better competition, like did maybe show you something about yourself that you didn't know? Like, did it give you more confidence? Were you like, oh, wow, like I can do this. I can play at the next level. Is that something that you gained from that that experience?
Yeah, for sure. It just like kind of taught me, like Firecrackers, what I got the most from it was what college ball is like. Like I mentioned, I went to Harvard for probably a month and a half before I had to leave because of health issues. But it, like a Firecrackers practice was just like my practices at Harvard. So it was like that, like it made it such an easy transition into college because I was ready.
How about just like development wise? Because obviously, you know, at Biddeford, it's your team. You're gonna get the ball. You get to do what you want. But when you're surrounded by a lot of other talented players, you gotta find different ways to be effective. Maybe find a niche. What did you learn about yourself? Or how did playing with those girls make you better skill wise? Like, what did you develop from that time?
I definitely developed like how to work within a system. Because at Biddeford, it was just kind of like get the ball to me and because that was basically our only option. But yeah, definitely working within a system. I think rebounding was a big thing for me when that, you go against that level of competition, like that, like teaches you how to rebound. And yeah, I just got reps up with like girls who are going to play at the next level. And like, that just like automatically gets you better. So.
And I'm guessing those practices, like the firecracker practices, are probably like some of the most intense basketball that you were exposed to, right?
Oh,
yeah. I'm guessing like you guys went at it probably, right?
It was almost like before practice, it was like scary because, you know, like not scary, but like you had to get in the zone to, like, and focus, because we just ran like so much. Like when we went into those tournaments, I was like the best, like in the best shape of my life, like the most conditioned team probably there.
Yeah. How about this? Like, obviously you like your teammates, you get along with your teammates, but when you guys practice as much as you do, when you spend as much time as you do, and you guys probably play against each other as much as you do in practice, I'm guessing you guys get on each other's nerves a little bit. Like, who was it on the firecracker team that you just, from a competitive standpoint, like just got under your skin, whether just because they were vocal or because they were so good? There had to be like that one player who maybe talked a little bit that just kind of got to you a little bit.
I think I wouldn't say like got to me, but definitely like competitive wise, Faith, Anna, and I, we just like kind of went at it in practice, because we're just like, I think Faith and Kenzie and Anna, but Faith is also competitive, but Kenzie and Anna are probably, besides Emily Esposito, the two most like competitive people I know. So yeah, it got competitive at practice, but like at the end of the day, it was like, okay, that's just basketball, like we're friends. So
that's the difference between guys and girls. Girls will go at it, be competitive, and be cool afterwards. But guys will be divas and sensitive and let it carry off the court. But
right.
So great experience with the Firecrackers. I want to talk a little bit more about Biddeford Hoops for a little bit. So obviously not as much success. You mentioned how many games did you think you won over the course of 4 years?
I think we won 7 or 8.
Yeah. So that can be very, very rough. And a lot of the players that I've had on here, they've been great players on great teams, so they've had success. But being a great player on a not-so-great team, there's a lot of stress that comes with that, right? And it kind of tests your mental standpoint. You got to deal with things they don't have to deal with. What was it like? Like, what's it like kind of not going into games? I'm not thinking you went into games thinking you're going to lose, but just knowing that all the attention was going to be on you, that you were going to be out, man, in terms of overall talent. Like, did that kind of take its toll on you?
I would say early on, like my freshman, sophomore year, when I was kind of less mature, it definitely got in my head.
Yeah.
But like my junior, senior year, basically my mentality, like going into a game, was simply like, I'm going to get face guarded or double teamed. And in order for us to have a chance to win, I'm going to have to score 30 plus points. It's like, that's what it came down to. So.
But also just having that mentality and knowing you're going to have to do that. I'm also developed as a player too, right? You probably have to find different ways to get open, different ways to score, find ways to make your teammates somewhat effective. So I'm guessing even though it was a struggle in terms of the attention you got, ultimately helped in your development as a player, right?
Oh, totally. Like when it definitely translated to AAU, the whole mental piece. Like when we were in intense situations, or like I was like mentally prepared, because I just had all that pressure on me in high school, and I wouldn't call it really pressure. It was just, I don't know. It's like a lot when you don't have a bunch of support around you.
Right. You mentioned volleyball. So you play volleyball as well. And a lot of the players that I've had on here, the ones that were standouts such as yourself, like they just play one sport. But you played softball, got a state championship, played volleyball. How did playing more than one sport help you develop as an overall athlete? How did playing volleyball contribute to you becoming a great basketball player?
Yeah, sure. I think volleyball just gave me like a mental break from basketball. And it's just such a fun sport. And we had some success at Biddeford. I mean, we never made it to states, but we always had good seasons. We were competitive. So I think it was a nice mental break from basketball, and it also helped because I had some people surrounding me that were like good athletes and really focused on volleyball and into the sport. So yeah, I really enjoyed volleyball.
What would you say to kids out there? Because believe it or not, there are kids who actually watch this and they'll let me know like, oh man, like that was really cool hearing her story, hearing that person's story. So what advice would you give to kids who maybe are thinking, I'm just going to stay and focus on one thing, focus on one sport, just play basketball. What would you say to them about how good it can be to play more than one sport?
I would say first, don't play one sport. Like so many people I know at the college level, like just college hoops in general, get burnt out so easily if they've only played one sport all the way up until college. And it's just proven that three sport athletes are like just their athleticism develops so much more than people who just play one sport. So I think life's too short. Like I couldn't focus just on one sport. Like I'm too competitive. But yeah, I would just really push the two or three sport athletes until you want to like specialize in your sport like I did after my freshman year.
Absolutely. And hey, more opportunities to win a state championship, right? Doesn't need to
be for sure. Yeah.
You get softball, maybe volleyball, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned you got hurt after the senior All-Star game. Well, which one was it, the McDonald's game or which game?
It was the class, I think, or Southern Maine class A/AA.
So many All-Star games.
I don't even keep track. but yeah, I remember it. I remember it so well. So basically I just won the jump ball and I was going down the court and I went into the middle of the paint. I'm in the middle of the paint and caught the ball and went down to jump stop, like right in front of Kenzie Holmes. And my knee just gave out. And I was like, oh my gosh. 'Cause my dad and my sister both tore their left ACL. And so I was like, please don't be this. And it was.
So what does it feel like? I mean, we hear it all the time, like, oh, this person tore an ACL, they tore an ACL. What does it actually feel like to tear an ACL?
A lot of people like hear like a pop or a crack. I didn't. I just like my knee, like it completely like gave out on me. Like I couldn't even, like, I don't know. It's such a, I can't describe it, but I like know the feeling like it was yesterday.
Is it painful or you just lose feeling, like you just lose control?
You lose control. It didn't hurt me, but I was like just so like in shock because I like knew that it was probably that I was like, oh my gosh. And like I was just crying because I was like, I know this is like serious, but it didn't hurt me. But it's a lot of people like say it hurts, but it's different for everyone.
So luckily for you, you made your college decision before that. That would have sucked to get hurt, like while still trying to go through the process. But you mentioned early on in eighth grade, you wanted to play basketball at an Ivy League school. So how did it come down to Harvard? What was the recruiting process like? I like hearing these stories because I didn't have big recruiting.
Sure.
I picked where I wanted to win and I went there. But what's it like to be recruited? What's your story?
So it was like kind of overwhelming at first, like not just like in your junior year, September 1st, like you get your like coaches are allowed to contact you or whatever. And like that day, I remember I was lifeguarding at the beach and I like had to take so many breaks because coaches were calling me. And I was like, oh, wow. This is like actually going to be a busy time. So like junior year was a lot. So at first I was like, anyone who contacted me, I'd be like, yeah, sure. Like, I'd love to get to know more about your school, your program, blah, blah, blah. And then it came down to like, okay, I need to just narrow down my options. And it probably for me, it came down to Columbia, BU, Northeastern, and Harvard. And then I looked at like Penn a little bit, but that's too far for me. And then Columbia, I was like, yeah, that's like too far. And like Harvard had offered me after Columbia. So that's kind of like what like gave Columbia the boot out of my like top. Yeah. And so then I just looked at BU, Northeastern, and Harvard, and at Harvard, I don't know, it just felt different. Like, I got that feeling on campus, and like when I was at their games and with their with the girls on the team, like I just loved it, and it was a great fit.
I'm getting the feeling that you're super polite. And whenever coaches first started calling you, like you were just like polite to everyone, like, yeah, sure. Like, I would like to hear more. Please send me more. Like, yeah. Like you said no to nobody in the beginning, right?
Yeah. Cause I was like basically wide open because I was all new to recruiting. Like Anna, Faith, and Kenzie had like offers in like eighth grade freshman year, and I was like all new to this, so I was like, yeah, like sure, I'd love to get to know your school. But yeah, it ended up working out, but it was definitely stressful at times, I won't lie. Like, it was such a huge relief when I committed.
I'm guessing too, just having some friends that went through it as well, just people you can lean on, people you could ask for advice, like that definitely helps, I'm guessing.
Yeah, for sure, definitely having teammates. Although we didn't really talk about it together. It was kind of like a private thing, but like, it was kind of like when we came together at practice, it was kind of just a de-stress from all that. And it was like, okay, we're together. We want to win games. Like, that's the point of all this.
So I'm guessing for most freshmen or going into their freshman year, they go hard that summer. Right? They want to show up to campus and show that they belong and make an impact. You coming off an ACL injury, like what was your summer like leading up to actually getting to school?
Yeah, that summer was, it definitely was a fun summer. Like, I had an enjoyable summer, but definitely the knee held me back. Like, I wasn't cleared to play. I was just grinding in rehab. But that was like pretty much it. I couldn't play basketball. I could only like shoot around. So I was pretty limited when I got to Harvard. And I hadn't even been cleared before I left. So I think it all worked out that year, like me taking the year off just so I would be healthy once I came back.
What was it like just dealing with an injury? I mean, it's got to be, I mean, you mentioned you attacked the heart in terms of rehab, but there's got to be moments of doubt or, you know, just moments of frustration. It's your first time really dealing with adversity, although I'm guessing winning 7 games in high school would qualify as adversity, but... definitely first time being injured, like a serious injury. What was it like dealing with that adversity? What did it teach you about yourself?
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely, it was dark sometimes. Like, you kind of like feel like the first month people are like, oh, how are you doing? Like, all this stuff. And then like after like month 2 and 3, you're kind of like on your own, like in the whole rehab process. Like, I obviously had my family and especially my dad and my sister, like, going through it would always check in, but yeah, it's kind of like you're on your own little journey, and you just like, I like just tried my best to get back. I couldn't get cleared yet, and it was definitely a lot mentally, but it has just prepared, I think that will just prepare me so much for college. But yeah, definitely if anyone's listening and is going through an injury, like, I went to go see a sports psychologist to help me through it. Like, get as much help as you need.
Absolutely. No shame in that at all right there. So I don't know about you, but me personally, I know that if I was going to an Ivy League school, basketball might be like the thing I'm least scared of or worried about. The academics is probably what I'd be worried about. But I'm guessing you like school. You mentioned you wanted to go to an Ivy League school as early as 8th grade. You knew this. So I'm guessing school is important to you, right? You like your education.
Yeah, I do. I mean, like, I don't love school, but it's not the worst thing. Like, I'm an economics major, so that's pretty daunting, the workload. Like, when I was there just that month, it's definitely a lot balancing, but it's manageable, so.
Yeah, and I'm guessing going there, expectations academically are a little bit more high than other places. And just, I mean, playing college basketball, D1 alone is a commitment. And the time and effort you put into practices, traveling, all this stuff, study halls. But then to manage an Ivy League education as well, how have you managed all this? Are you doing a good time with your time management skills? How is it going for you?
Yeah, it's definitely taught me time management and how important like your 24 hours of the day are. Like just like going on your phone for an hour actually takes so much time out of your day.
That's a good point. I never thought about that. That's actually a really good point right there.
Like your screen time, like that's made me realize so much. Just trying to balance basketball and that kind of education. But it's a grind for sure. Like definitely harder than high school. But like you have your teammates that are going through it. You have upperclassmen who have taken like some of the classes you're in. So yeah, I have a good support system.
All right. Yeah, I would hope so. That's kind of, like I said, the education part would be the daunting part for me. I'm like, oh my God, this is just too much. And then on top of that, COVID hits, right? So you would come home, right? You mentioned you came home during the year. You finished up your freshman year at home, right?
Yes, I did.
What was it like for COVID? I mean, we're still in it. It's crazy. Like 8 months later, here we are. We're still in it. But it seems like early on, like when things first started going like lockdown and stuff like that, like that was quite the time for everyone. What was it like for you in the beginning? Because you know, you come home from school, can't play basketball. All of a sudden, you're locked up at home. Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was tough. It was definitely an adjustment. Just being home all the time, especially from a training and just workout perspective. Because when COVID hit, it was like March, so it was still cold out. So when gyms are closed, you can't really shoot around outside. That's not very productive. But yeah, I got my sister and I, we got the basement gym rolling.
Nice.
We're pretty limited in exercise equipment, but we made it work. Then I just did some ball handling and just tried to, I don't know, do you feel like every day of like those March, April, like every day felt the same?
Like yeah, and then you looked up and like 4 months went by like that.
But
you,
yeah, it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
It was
crazy. We're still here.
Yeah. Did you pick up any hobbies? What'd you do to pass the time? I feel like everyone like picked up something new.
I got really into investing. Oh. So when the stock market crashed, so that like took up a lot of my time. I just did a bunch of reading. Listening to podcasts, and now I'm like really into it. So that was like one of the positives from Corona.
So you must have been excited to go back. Like you must have been ready for school. Like you having learned some and done some real world stuff. You were probably like just pumped up to get back into it this semester.
Yeah, because I had an internship when Corona hit in finance, and then I was doing investing and. I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot wait to like go back to school. Like I feel like so much more prepared than I did before. And then our coach was like, yeah, you like probably shouldn't come back because you won't be able to do anything. So yeah, here we are again.
So did you actually get down there at all for a little bit? Were you on campus for a little bit?
No, I wasn't this year.
So we talked about this too, like before we came on and started recording. It's been a while since you've played like in a competitive game.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But I definitely skills wise have developed a lot. Like I feel so much better as a basketball player than I did before I tore my ACL.
Now you just need a game to play. That's all you need. You just need nine of the girls in a court and a ref and a ball and good to go. Did you play pickup all this summer? I saw, I think it was the Thunder program, invited a bunch of girls, like former players to come and hoop. Were you in that game?
Yeah, I'm involved in the Thunder program. I coach a little there and I'm tied with Abby and I wanted to like get some pickup going. So I texted like 30 girls like that I knew that were like hoopers or either played in college. And we got a like really good pickup like night going. It was like every Thursday night, I think. But yeah, so I was like, oh my gosh, basketball. Like I can finally play against like my old teammates and just like girls that are talented. And it was great. I loved it.
That's the one thing I don't understand. I've talked to a couple of girls about it. Like, why is there not like a league down in the summertime or at least pickup? Because look at how many talented girls we have, and like a lot of them are concentrated down there in Southern Maine. And you all play college ball, and you need a place to run in the summertime. Like, how come you girls don't get together and just find a place, like get a league going, get a run going? How come there's nothing? I don't understand.
That's the plan for the summer, if Corona permits. I've been talking to Abby about it. But I think one of the challenges is that the Ivy League doesn't do, we don't have any summer requirements, but some of the girls that play in college are on campus. They have summer session for a month, either in June or July. But yeah, we're looking into getting like an actual league going this summer.
That'd be great. I got to talk to Abby because he had some ideas. I got some ideas. We had him on a couple weeks ago. We got a little relationship going, so maybe something will come out of it. You mentioned you play pickup with some of your former nemesis's teammates. Did you play? Were you in the game against the younger girls, like the girls that are in high school right now?
Yeah.
What can you say about the current crop of talent? Like, how's Maine basketball looking? We know the class of 2019. You, Anna, McKenzie, Faith, Bailey Donovan. Who else is in there? Delaney Haynes. Stacked. So obviously.
Yeah, my class is pretty stacked. Like, I'm there. But the young talent coming up is just so exciting. Like, when I was listening to your podcast of the girls' draft, I was like, oh, my gosh, there is so many good players in this state that are just, like, slept on. But, yeah, they're, like, Sarah Tallon, Jess Dow, Elise McNair, Addison Sulikowski. Who else do I play with? I play with JC, Sloan Jinneman. They're all, who else? I'm definitely forgetting other girls. But they're, yeah, I'm really excited about that. Like, there's a ton of talent.
So you think the state's in good hands, right? It's going the right way.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, no one knows this. You're the first one in on this because I recorded an episode last night, but your episode's going to come out first. So the episode I recorded last night comes out next Friday. Mm-hmm. And these fantasy drafts are so popular that I'm doing the decade in review right now, right? 2010 to 2020, going back, recapping some stuff. So mm-hmm. I had Lon Berthume, Mike G from Scarborough, Bill Goodman, and Nate Peltier, right? Had them on last night. We had a fantasy draft. Class A, double A girls, 2010 to 2020 was the draft pool. And your name may or may not have been called in that draft. I'm not going to say for sure. But I want to know, if you were a team captain, you could pick five girls from that era, which is a stacked era, by the way, 2010 to 2020. Who were the five girls you would draft?
Okay. I would draft Anna DeWolf, Kenzie Holmes, Jemima. Can I include myself?
Yeah, go for it. Absolutely.
Myself.
Okay.
And I think Jules Colby.
Okay. Excellent picks right there. And you mentioned Jemima, and that's someone else, right, who's just the potential is limitless with her, right? I've seen her play a lot this summer. Have you been around her at all?
Yeah, I was training with her 2 hours ago, actually. So we were playing one-on-one, getting some reps up, and she's just not human, honestly. Like, she is so athletic. And she's even developed her three-point game.
I know
Lauren and her have been just repping that out. So it's like, I used to be able to play off of her because I'm like, okay, shoot. Like, do it. And then now I sagged off her today and she like hit two in my face and I was like, okay, now I have to guard you and like hope to not get broken.
No, like I've seen clips of her like all summer long and just like the athleticism is next level and the fact that she's developing a jump shot is scary. Yeah. And someone else is going to be in your area, right? She's going to be down there in Boston at Northeastern. And
yeah.
You got Emily Esposito down there at BU. So there's a bunch of Maine. Camille's going to be down there, right? It's like a nice little Maine connection in that Boston area.
Yeah, it'll be great. I'm excited to play them.
I have a couple more questions before we get up out of here. So obviously you're a couple years removed from high school. Whenever you go back and you play with some of these girls still in high school, do you feel like the old person yet? Do you feel old yet?
That's a tough question, honestly. Like when I'm playing with like the seniors and juniors, no, because I like know them, like Sarah Tallon, and that whole crew. So I don't feel old with them, like not quite. But then when I'm like playing in like a pickup game or just like scrimmaging or coaching, like some girls that are like gonna be freshmen, I'm like, wow, like I'm pretty old.
Old age will get you fast. Yeah, come out of nowhere. You mentioned too how like the plan originally at Biddeford was to go there for a year and then maybe go to a different school. And we see it all the time now in the NBA. People just jump and ship, jumping from team to team for the best situation. They go there to go play with who they want to play with. If you could go back now, right, only a couple years removed, but let's say for your senior year, you could sign as a free agent at any other school in the area, right? And there were some really good teams. The teams were really, really good. Oxford Hills, there's a bunch of great teams. It's only 2 years ago, but who would you have signed with if you could go back and sign with somebody for your senior year?
I think I would sign with Oxford Hills.
Okay. What is it about Oxford Hills? This is big. I wish this was real. I wish this was really happening.
I know.
why Oxford Hills?
I feel like really, like I love Anna and like all of them. But they just had too many athletes. I feel like that would be unfair. And then Kenzie was over at Gorham. So I feel like I would want to play with Jules. Jules is one of my favorite people to play with. And then the Oxford Hills coach, I don't know if you posted that, his like success and like,
yes, win. That was me.
So I've never personally met him, but just I saw that and I was like, wow, he's like been very successful. So I think that I would want to play for Oxford Hills.
I'm sure he would have loved to have heard that. I'm sure he probably, had he known ahead of time, they probably would have tried to work something to make that happen.
Definitely let him know if you can. Yeah,
absolutely. Everyone you just mentioned, all the names you just mentioned, were also drafted on that fantasy draft last night, which comes out next week. So it's a good one. I'm telling everyone right now, make sure you tune in for the fantasy draft. Last thing. So you mentioned how your eighth grade yearbook dreams came true already, like 4 years later. So if you had to put something in the Harvard freshman yearbook, right? But what's the next goal? What's the next thing you want to accomplish in life? It's a lot of pressure because the eighth grade one came true. So
I know. Yeah. I think I want to be definitely work up the ranks to become a CEO of some company, if not my own. So okay. We'll see if that comes true. I'll manifest that now.
Write it down somewhere.
Yeah.
Before we get up out of here, I always give my guests a chance to say the last word. So anything you want to say at all before we get up out of here, now's your chance.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you for finally having me on here. This is fun, and I really admire what you're doing to get Maine basketball exposure.
Absolutely. And I might have to reach back out to you because I want to get a class of 2019 podcast. I just want to get all the girls
in
2019. I know everyone's busy. Everyone's playing D1 hoops right now and is playing well and doing great. But at some point, I want to do a class of 2019 podcast. If you'll come back on.
Oh yeah, totally. I really enjoy doing this, and I think that would be super fun.
And then also, I haven't asked anybody in a while. I've kind of forgot about it, but at some point here, we talked about the lack of runs down there in Portland and just lack of runs in general for girls and tournaments and stuff like that. At some point, I want to get together a girls women's tournament in the summertime to rival the Noonan tournament. I want to get like this just for the girls because there's so much talent. And if it happens, Big Time is going to have a team. And I want to know if you're playing on our team. I already got Mackenzie. I think Anna said yes. Emily said yes. So will you join Team Big Time and help us conquer it?
I would love to join Team Big Time.
Oh, my God. We are so stacked. So stacked right now. That's going to do it. That's all the time we got for tonight's episode of Big Time Hoop. Shout out to Gracie for coming through, finally coming through. I know she's a busy girl, but she made it happen. So thank you. And make sure everyone's checking out all the previous episodes up there on YouTube and Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. You can check it out. And see you Friday with the fantasy drafts where Gracie may or may not be drafted. I'm not going to say anything else beyond that, but you guys got to tune in to check that one out. It was a lot of fun. So see you on Friday with another episode of Big Time Hoops Podcast. See ya.